Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoints Africa podcast. My name is Muyiwa.
I'm Emmanuel.
And I'm Tej.
So Nifemi can't make it today, she's a bit under the weather. If you know her personally, please reach out to her and check on her. And and of course, just a quick disclaimer, we are recording this episode remotely, just like we did last week. So there may be some background noise. There must be so much Nigerianness happening, whether it's sound of generators or the fact that we're not in our studio recording with professional equipment. So please bear with us. Yeah, so what's up, guys? A lot has happened this week, or it seems a lot has happened this week, or not much,
yeah,
relatively speaking.
Funding news related stuff, but yeah, different stuff forms. Yeah.
Last week it was raining funds last week. Really interesting stuff. Anyway, but something happened over the weekend that was very interesting and got people worried, thinking maybe like it's going to affect fintech players. The Central Bank of Nigeria, Nigeria's regulatory financial body, decided to implement a new policy. Emmanuel, you can tell us about that.
Okay, so the policy came out last year in December 2019, to be precise, sorry. And you remember when CBN slashed the charges on transfers and ATM maintenance fees and all that, like just right before Christmas. So in that same document, yeah, where they slashed everything, that was where they introduced charges for failed direct debit transactions. So that direct debit is, it makes it seem as if any company or any individual that puts up his account for automatic deductions, say every month, maybe you are paying a NEPA bill and NEPA is to collect money from your account automatically every month. But so there's this thing going around like, okay, how will this affect recurring payments you set up on Paystack and Flutterwave and the likes of them? So we reached out to their support teams and they clarified that, oh, this will not affect recurring payment. It's actually for direct debit. So it now leads us to, okay, what is that is direct debit? So it's just like a written order from you, the customer, to your bank, telling your bank that, okay, on so and so date of every month, remove a certain amount from my account and pay it to this person. Mm. So in Nigeria, we don't use that often. What we mostly use it for is loans.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Yeah. So
loans, yeah.
Loan providers.
So I guess that's what the policy is for. So that's to, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So like you said, what you're about to say is to help loan providers be able to collect their funds. So and reduce the amount of defaulting loans we have in Nigeria. So
that's the idea behind. So they are charging, if I'm not mistaken, they are charging 1% of the amount if a direct debit fails because you don't have funds in your account.
Yeah.
Or 5,000 naira, whichever one is greater.
Yeah, which one is higher, yes. So if a direct debit of up to 500,000 naira fails, you are paying 500,000 naira people, or anything above 500,000 naira, you'll be paying 1% of that amount. So that's like.
So you mean anything below, you mean?
Yeah, anything below. You are paying 5,000. If, for instance, you set up an automatic debit for 400k every month in your account, you'll be made to pay 5,000 naira because 1% of 400k is not 5,000 naira. So you pay the one that is higher.
So you still pay 5,000.
Yeah, so you pay 5,000.
Oh, so then if it's 1 million,
if it's 1 million,
1% is 100,000, you pay 1%, which is 100,000.
No, 10,000.
That's crazy.
That's 10,000.
Okay, 10,000, yeah.
But that kind of ties with, wasn't it a few weeks back or a few months back that you did a story on how CBN is trying to tackle default payments, allowing loan providers to withdraw money
from any
to debit here.
Any account, yes, any account, any wallet that is linked to your BVN, they call it
without any instruction.
It's
so if you borrowed money from bank A, and then it's time to collect your payments, but there's no money in your account in bank A.
Mm.
Bank A can use your BVN to trace to trace other banks or wallets where you have money and withdraw that money without your permission.
Yeah, so
interesting. So if that is already there, why do they now still have to punish you for not having money in your account? Because since there's already a policy that says if there's no money in your account, you borrowed money, they can check for other accounts linked to your BVN and withdraw. So why would they now? So does it mean now that with this policy, they would, because when they first attempt to debit your account, because there's no money there, you'll be charged, and then because of the other policy, they're gonna get money from your other accounts and withdraw it.
Well, it's
so like you'll be punished on two fronts.
And the crazy thing is, okay, the punishment came before this other directive that they want to debit any billion linked account you have. So that one, the punishment came in December. Then global standard instruction came like 2 or 3 months ago. So I think
but they didn't implement this over the they didn't announce implementing it until over the weekend, which is why everybody was in the frenzy. But the main thing now is this is not going to affect recurring payments and fintechs, right?
No,
so we should not be worried. It's just direct debits, which not many Nigerians use.
Is it if the fintech companies, like, are they really sure it won't affect recurring payments? Or, I mean, since nobody's really sure about the whole thing, are they really clear on that statement, or is just something to reassure their customers? Because maybe later we'll probably find out that, I mean, it's actually affecting recurring payments. I'm just asking because it's like the first time I'm hearing about the whole direct debit thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it has, since it's just been implemented, right? Are they really clear on that?
Oh, direct debit has always been like that.
I mean, you just said they just implemented it over the weekend.
No, they implemented the policy. But direct debit has always been a thing. It's just that it's not very commonly used in Nigeria.
Yeah, so there's actually a regulatory document that describes all that direct debit entails. So if you check that document, you see it has nothing to do with recurring payments. But the only caveat I'll point out here is, okay, it's possible for them to update it later.
Include recurrent payments.
But in the current
state,
I don't think.
Okay, let's move on from the dispersing and sad stuff and boring stuff. still in fintech anyway. OP is wild. What's going on with OP?
Yeah,
it's been long we heard from OP.
So Opera, the popular browser, they released their financials. Opera is the parent company of the Nigerian fintech company Opay, and they stated that Opay processed about $1.4 billion in the month of October alone. So they didn't offer much information, but
that's like $500 billion.
Yeah,
interesting.
It's really very. It's interesting and it's quite surprising, and it shows that OP actually used that super app initiative to rope a lot of people in to the payment bracket. Like we predicted they would last year when Oride came and started offering a lot of freebies. Yeah, so I think it also ties in with what Iniaba said, OP's country manager told me a few months ago about the number of payments that OPA has been processing, both online and offline transactions. And I think that has been their key strategy, being able to process both online and offline payments with a lot of mobile money agents around. And I don't know, from all indication, it seems they are beating Paga and First Money at their own game. So far, so good. So, they also revealed that, OPE is planning to expand outside Nigeria very, very soon, but they didn't give any specific dates.
Didn't they originally kind of start in Kenya? OP. They didn't start as OP. It was Opera. It was like, the name was something to do with Opera, not necessarily OP. It's when he joined Nigeria that when he came to Nigeria, it was called OP.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of soft launched in Kenya, but it didn't really pick up, right, if I'm not mistaken. You know, like Opera Mobile Money or something. I can't remember what it was called, but something like that, that they launched in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, so they want to expand.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, but they didn't mention when or the countries that we're looking to branch out to for now. But it's been interesting to look at what their plans are going forward, and we wish them the best.
Yeah, so they seem to have figured it out with the whole mobile, offline mobile agents network and all of that, even with the pandemic. So, interesting stuff, although we can't say for sure whether they are profitable. I mean, these are just transaction volumes. We don't know for a fact what's going on there and whether it's viable and they're profitable enough to start taking up an expansion. But anyway, kudos to them. It's all interesting. Interesting. Okay, meanwhile, all the past weeks we've been discussing the West African Startup Decade Report, which OP features, you know, having raised hundreds of millions of naira over the past decade, of dollars, sorry, over the past decade. And then one of the insights from the report seems to show that you are better off having co-founders if you are looking to raise money. What was that about Heritage?
Yeah, so I'll just like give a little sneak peek into the report, so not to like give everything out and all that. So yeah, like what you just said, from the reports we gathered that, I mean, we just covered the millionaire West African startups, right? So startups have raised $1 million plus cumulatively over the past decade. And we saw that if you are a solo founder, right, you probably raise less than, if you have a startup with a solo founder will probably raise less than a startup with two or three plus founders on the team. So it's shows like that you actually like need how do I put it, a couple of founders, or you need like two or more founders to be able to like scale and raise more money in Africa, right? And I spoke with some VCs over the phone this week, and he gave some insights into why that's the case, right? You need someone to help you with the journey when you're probably, if you're a solo founder and just everything is on like, you know, carrying all the burden, you're going to be stressed out. So you need someone to partner with you, and you need someone to handle the tech and another person to handle the business. So you really find, yeah, there are companies like you know, like that, that probably skill and everything, they have just one founder, but majority of the prominent companies have two or more founders. So it's just like an advice to startups or to solo founders that are trying to scale their startups. It's better to have two heads, like they say, it's better than one. So yeah, that's
So I'm seeing that among the startups that raised over 15 million, that West African startups that raised over $50 million over the past decade, only one of them has a sole founder. 16 of them have two co-founders, and 13 have more than two co-founders. That's interesting.
Very interesting. 16.
So it's looking like you have to have two or more founders to increase your chances of raising lots of funds in Africa. And that's interesting because there's always the debate, or should I say the question about, should I go alone? Should I go with someone? Should I have a co-founder? You know, choosing your co-founder can be like getting married. You may choose the wrong partner and
true,
it runs the business down.
Yeah.
You know, so they always, I remember we have a story from about 3 years ago that was written by Titi. We can put a link in the episode notes about how you should find, what you should look for when you're looking for a co-founder. About like, do their skills complement yours?
Yeah.
Do they have experience? Have they done it before? Do they have contacts and network that you can't reach?
And can leverage,
you know, stuff
on, yeah,
like that.
True.
Yeah. Because all of those things matter. And I think that's why these startups that are raising so much money is because the people that are on the team or the co-founders, like the two or three co-founders, all have different
networks,
areas of expertise, and they have experience in that. Yeah, I guess so. Definitely, it makes sense that.
Yeah, another thing, I guess, if on the part of the investors, they might look at it like, okay, if it's a solo founder, if he gets tired of the business, he can just run away.
Yeah, probably. Shut everything down.
Yeah, but if he has co-founders, if one person gets tired, the others can carry him. It's a business, and the business is not for when the co-founder runs away. So I guess that would be another way to look at it too.
But the fact that there's a startup with one founder that raised $50 million shows that they are always going to be exceptions.
I'm even trying to think. They're always going to be exceptions of $50 million plus. Wow. Trying to think of startup, but yeah, there will be exceptions, of course. No, I said I was trying to think of like the startup that, you know, has raised this $50 million, the solo founder startup, but none can pop into my head right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're not that common, so you have to even rack your brain before you.
But I think Sim think might of do that like that.
But
they're
definitely
just saying, Shagaya.
Okay, so Sim Shagaya is probably the only founder of Ulesson right now.
Yeah.
But you know, in his own case, there's also the case about serial entrepreneurs, and even the report shows that serial entrepreneurs also have a better chance of raising more. I mean, he has Emotion that was acquired, he had Deal Day and then Conga and then Ulesson now. So he definitely has a track record. So yeah. But interesting stuff. I mean, if you want more insights to that, you can always check our West African Startup Decade reports. Visit intelligence.techpoint.africa. We'll also put a link to that in the episode notes. And don't forget, next year we're still hosting the Digital Currency Summit. Emmanuel, tell our listeners more about that.
Okay, so in summary, by January 2021 at Four Points by Sheraton, we will be hosting the biggest and brightest minds.
Lagos, Nigeria.
Yeah, in Lagos, Nigeria. Yeah, we'll be hosting some of the biggest and brightest minds in the world of cryptocurrencies. Mm-hmm. So we'll be discussing points about regulations, what to look out for when raising money for your crypto startup, because of
ICOs.
ICOs and all that. Of course, we'll be inviting the likes of Yellow Card and some others that have raised money as a crypto startup. And of course, we'll be discussing on a separate conference, we'll have an entire conference for the geeks, the developers, the designers, and people interested in gamifying tokens, advanced UX for crypto, and of course the blockchain technology. So for those developing new innovations in digital currency, for those who want to do that, and for those who want to just expand their network, yeah, please, the Digital Currency Summit for 2021 is the best place to be. Of course, it's going to be a physical conference, and rest assured, we have all the precautions in place to guard against the pandemic. So I would love to see you there. Head over to the website currency.techpoints.africa and register.
So we'll put a link to that in the episode notes also. And don't forget, if you are listening for the first time, you can get the podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Hiat Radio, anywhere you get podcasts. And you can also visit podcast.techpoint.africa. If you don't want to use any of those apps, you can still listen to our podcast. And don't forget our sister podcast, Built in Africa. Just search for Built in Africa wherever you get podcasts. And a quick one before we go, again, apologies. We are recording this remotely from different locations in Lagos, so there's a lot of background noise all over the place. Apologies for that. Next week we should be in our studio anyway.
Hopefully.
Heritage, any parting words?
Like always, we should stay safe. The year is coming to an end, and we look forward to more exciting news from startups, from the government too, hopefully, and from the tech ecosystem in Nigeria and Africa.
Yeah, looking forward to great things, and especially as we wrap up the year. All right, guys, so we'll catch you next week. Take care and bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.